I was dealing with a soul last year, and this person was dealing for their soul, and they were struggling and trying to live saved and be what they should be, and they were struggling over being able to forgive. And we had dealt with them many different times and talked to them about forgiveness, and they kept saying to us, well, I'm trying. And so we would keep dealing with them and trying to give them scripture and giving them scripture. The scripture says, if you don't forgive, God isn't going to forgive you. And they just couldn't quite come to it. And they would call over and over and over. And finally, one time, they were very, very distressed. And they said, they wanted help. They wanted God to really help them. They didn't want to give up their salvation. They wanted to be able to make it. And of course, the forgiveness came up again. And so I told him, I said, you have to forgive. I can't. I've tried. I can't. And I said, yes, you can. I said, the scripture says that we have to forgive others. You know, we have to forgive their debts as God forgives ours. We have to do that. And I said, God never told us anything that we had to do that he wasn't able to make us be able to do, give us the strength to be able to do it. And they were crying, and they said, no, I just can't, I can't, I can't. And I said, that is not true. You can. And finally they said, I don't want to. We finally got to the bottom of it, see. I don't want to. And then they began to open up about, they did this and they did that, and why should I this and why should I that, and why should I forgive this when all of this has happened because of that, and on they went. And needless to say, they went back on the Lord. That was the last time that I heard from them at that point in time. And they gave it up. They were finally honest. See, as long as they were feeling like there was some kind of defect and they couldn't do it, and as long as they were feeling like, and the Lord was trying to get to them what was really working there, and they couldn't quite grasp it and all, God was having mercy on them. But as soon as they admitted, I don't want to, then he required it. And at that point, when they wouldn't do it, he couldn't forgive them anymore. Amen. For their unforgiveness. He could not forgive them anymore for their unforgiveness. And they lost out with the Lord. Our burden today is, I don't want to. There's lots of things we don't want to do. Lots of things. Some of them are good things. Some of them are bad things. But we want to talk about a lot of things that have to do with our soul. When we come to the Lord and we bow down before him at an altar of prayer and we get up, there's usually no restraint left in us. We're free that day. And there's no restraint in us. There's no feeling like, well, I'm going to get saved, but I'm not doing that. Or that usually is gone. You know, for you to get through to the Lord, that all has to be laid down. And you get up from that altar and you're just so clean and clear and fresh and new. And you don't have any, right at that point in that time, right at that hour, you don't have any rebellion in you. But the enemy's coming. See, he's going to contest what you got. And so over the days to come, as you live in your Christian experience, you find out all kinds of things, and you begin to find some things that you don't want to do. And it's how you handle those things is what makes your Christian life successful, or you lose out with God. is how you handle the things you don't want to do. See, this is what happens. If I don't want to do something, a simple desire inside of me, I don't want to do this. If I say that long enough, and I do that long enough, it becomes a belief to me. Yeah. It becomes my belief system now. So, if I don't want, say I'm a child, and I don't want my mom and dad telling me what to do, after a while I feel like I don't have to listen to them. And it becomes my belief system that I don't have to. And how many people are, in this day and age, do we know when people say, I don't have to? When really they should be submitting to authority, but they don't. It becomes their belief system. Yeah. Or what about, oh, you're on the job. And maybe you have a boss that isn't easy to get along with. Maybe you have somebody that's not very fair in the workplace, and you're underneath them. And there's a certain amount of respect you're supposed to show them, but I don't want to. And so after a while, I begin to tell myself that they don't deserve respect. They haven't earned respect. They don't have this. They don't have that. I don't have to respect them. It becomes my belief. I don't have to. But I can lose my job over it. See, we can lose our soul over the things that we say we don't have to, that turn into our belief system. When we say things like, I don't want to say I'm sorry. I don't want to say it. After a while, it becomes our belief system where we feel like we don't need to say we're sorry. The enemy gives us all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses to use why we don't need to say we're sorry. All he needs from you is a little bit of I don't want to. That's all he needs. Just give him a little space with that door and let him get his foot in the door, and he will have all kinds of reasons and take you all the way down to where you don't even feel like you have to ever do it. Our I don't want to's turn into our belief systems. Now, turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter. I want to read about a man. The 12th chapter, starting at the 16th verse, 16 through 20. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. Now do you think that this rich man went through his whole life and God never dealt with him? Now this is a parable, a story, so we can add to it. You think God never dealt with him? You think he didn't say anything to him until the very end, when the very day that his soul was going to be required of him, that was the first time he talked to him? No, he had talked to him through his whole life. So as he talked to him through his whole life, what did he keep saying? I don't want to. I don't want to. Because obviously he did the things he wanted to, and he did them well. He got an abundance of crop, and he knew that he was set up for now, maybe for the rest of his life. Maybe he was getting older, and he was going to be able to eat, drink, and be merry and not have to work anymore. And what had he been working for? A chance to rest. That's what he'd been working for. So the things he wanted to do, he did well. But there were some things he didn't want to do. That's how we are throughout our lives. There are some things that all of us have in our minds that we want to do. And we do those. And we do them with all of our might because it's something we want to do. But there are other things that we don't want to do. And so if we find that God is requiring us to do some of those things we don't want to do, we have a struggle. Now, this man, no doubt he had a struggle through his life. There were different times that he knew things he should be doing, and he didn't do them. We know that the things that he did do, he was very, very good at. Do you know that if we put our mind to serving the Lord, and we put our mind, and it's what we really want to do, and it takes up our energies and our efforts, and we'll be a success if we really want to do it. The devil can't stop you if you really want it. But this is what happens. God sends something along the way. Oh, like this person that I dealt with. He wants you to forgive some. And you run up against the I don't want to's. Yes. You run up against it and you say, but they did so and so. And the Lord says, I just want you to forgive it. You know, the preacher last night said something that was very, very profound, and I enjoyed it, and I've learned it in my own life. That when you start seeing yourself and realizing the things that are wrong in you, it's easy for you to forgive and to give other people mercy and love. It's easy when you really see you. The problem is we don't see us because we don't want to. We don't want to. We don't really want to see what's in us. You ever had people tell you over and over and over, you're so-and-so. This is who you are. They say it over and over. You hear it from your parents growing up over and over and over. And the whole time you say, that's not me, that's not me. That's not what I'm like. I don't want to see it. Then I go out in the workplace. And I have coworkers tell me, this is what you are. This is what you are. And you go, no, I'm not like that. I'm not going to see that. We go through our whole life with everyone around us telling us the same thing, but we don't see it. Because we don't want to. Because usually the things that they see are not things we would like to have. But you know, just because you don't like it and you don't want to have it doesn't mean you don't have it. It means that you can have it and you need victory over it, and God can change it and cleanse it and make you a new creature to where your parents won't say that about you anymore. I had something said to me and that I was lazy. I hated that word. I'm not lazy. You know, this is the way we do it. This is the way I was raised. This is this. You know, I had all these. I did not want to deal with that. But I would hear it from time to time. And I just got to the place where I just hated that word. But it was a long, long time before I hated it enough to look inward and say, all right, Lord, show me. Show me where I am. This keeps coming up. Keeps coming up. Keeps coming right up before me. Right up before me. What do you think that is? That when the things keep coming up right before you, what do you think that is? But God trying to reveal something to you. Yeah. It's not because all these other people have just got it in for you. It's not because they all got together and plotted and schemed and came up with the same word and they keep throwing it at you just to torment you. God's trying to show you what's in you. This rich man, he had opportunity to do something about his soul. Yes. He had opportunity to get rid of the I don't want to's. But he didn't take that opportunity. He didn't do that. And in the end, the things he wanted to do, he was so successful. Mm-hmm. And in the end, he had it made. Finally, after all the years of labor and working, he finally had it. That thing he wanted so bad. And then the Lord said, thou fool, tonight, it's over tonight. All this that you've worked for, you're not going to even get it. And isn't that the way it is? if we reject God and try to go after things and go after, even just go after a normal life without God in it. I just want to have a nice home. I just want to have a happy home. I just want to have a loving wife. I just want to have decent children. That's not too much to ask, is it? But without God, how successful are you going to be? I want all those things. But what I don't want is for God to be in my life, telling me what to do and how to do it, and doing it all His way. Because there's some things I want to do, and I know His wants are going to be different from my wants. We have many choices, many times that we can choose things in our lives. How about, I don't want to change my major. I'm talking about people going to school. You know, sometimes we get in our minds what we want to do, what we want to be someday. We get that in our minds. And we decide how we're going to accomplish it, how we're going to go about it. But God has, you know, God has a plan for everybody's life. And it doesn't always include what your plan was. In fact, most of the time it doesn't include it. And so when you just make up your mind, this is what I'm going to do, this is what people have always told me I'm the best at, this is what people have always praised me about, this is what people have always said, oh, you'd be so good doing that. Be careful of that. Be careful. Unless those are godly people, it's just worldly wisdom they're talking about. It's just something worldly. And that thing will get you so caught up that you won't know how to get loose. Just following what everybody says you're good at. I remember when I was in high school, people used to come and bring me their problems. And they used to tell me how good I was at problem solving and all these things. Oh, they praised me and everything. And you know, it wasn't anything that I did. It wasn't anything I did. It was that I wasn't a real talkative person, so I just listened. And they solved their own problem by talking it out. But they talked it out to me, and I wasn't there just telling them, you know, you can take your problems to some people, and some people will just start telling you right away what to do and everything instead of listening. And I was just a good listener. So what I really had was being a good listener. I wasn't really a problem solver. But you can take something like that, you hear it enough, you take it, and you think, ooh, I must be pretty good at this. Thinking that you have something. And then you take it on into salvation with you, and you think, oh, I'm pretty good at this. Until the first time that something goes wrong, when you were trying to help, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, whoa, wait a minute, what's happening here? It used to be out there that it always seemed to work, but in here it's not working. And the Lord had to teach me my limitations, and He had to teach me that I didn't have anything to give. No matter how many people told me I did, I didn't have anything to give unless He gave it. But it's a learning process. We don't want to hear bad things about ourselves. We don't want to hear it. So consequently, we try to block those things out. We hear something about ourselves, we block it out. Because we feel like most of the time we get defensive, and most of the time the enemy starts talking to us right away, telling us, you're not that, you're not this. Besides, He changes it real quick. He says, you're not this, you're not that. Besides, look what they're doing. See? He doesn't want you dwelling on you. He wants you dwelling on them. Because if you dwell on them, you never get changed. So He wants you dwelling on them. So, what about, I don't want to give up my friends. We get saved. Our friends, we've been out there in the world with them. We've been doing all kinds of things with them. And the Lord says, you need to move on. You need to give up some of these friends. You need to put some separation between you. And you say, I don't want to give up my friends. After a while, that will become your belief system. And you'll say, and you'll be teaching others, you don't have to give up your friends. You just have to make sure that they don't cause you to do this. You don't have to give up your friends. You just need to be sure that when you go with them places, that you're the one that speaks up and says, you know. And before long, I'm going to tell you where it goes. Before long, you'll be saying, you don't have to give up your friends. You just need to be, when you go with them, you just need to be the designated driver. This is where the enemy wants to take it, see? He wants to take it past what you understand at the moment. There's lots of things I don't want to. I don't want to. All right, let's turn to Matthew 25. I'm going to talk about the 10 virgins. It says, and then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, that ye know neither, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, we have these 10 virgins. Now, there were 5 of them that had extra oil. Where do you think they got that? Where do you think they got it? You think it just came upon them? They found it beside the road one day. Where do you think they got this extra oil? They went after it. They went and bought it. I'm going to tell you what our salvation experience is like. Our salvation experience is like a whole series of things to buy and sell. We buy the things that we need in salvation. And how do we buy them? By giving up our own ideas, our own ways, our own thoughts. And we let God have his ways and his thoughts, his ideas. We live and worship and function through him. Yes. That's buying. Selling is selling off the things that are worthless to us. Getting rid of those kind of things. Just throwing them away. Realizing they have no profit. There's no gain in them. There's nothing there that is useful. Now, in here it says, in this verse it says, they said, give us of your oil. And they were told, go buy for yourself. You see, they had opportunity to buy all along. They could have been getting a little extra oil all the time. Because, see, oil, of course, we know this talks about the Holy Spirit. But when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we still have to buy and sell. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, we can't say, I don't want to. We can't make an excuse and say, well, I believe. See, some people have gotten to the place to where when the Holy Spirit convicts them or brings something to them, they've gotten to the place to where it's not even the I don't want to anymore. They've gone way past it. It's their belief system now. And they say to you, well, I don't believe you have to do that. Because it's already their belief system now. They've already dealt with it in their mind. They've already said, you know, they didn't want to. So they started finding reasons. They thought, you know, people will find scriptures. They will find scriptures and pull them out of here and there and everywhere to be able to try to prove something that they want to believe. Why do you think there's so many different churches? Because people have pulled out what they want to believe.
Amen.
I don't want to do it this way, so if I want to keep this, then I find people, or I make an excuse, or I find people that believe it like I do, and I worship with them. And so everybody is gathered into these. And do you see how it used to be? I mean, if you go through the ages of time, there weren't as many different beliefs as there are now. It used to be there would be one or two things that would separate or something, but there was still largely, you know, maybe one group, two groups, three groups, something like that. But in our age, they have splintered off of almost every scripture in the Bible. They just keep splintering. They come up to this, they're all believing the same thing, and then somebody comes up with this something on a scripture, and then here they are, half of them are going with what this one believes, and half of them are staying with what the others believe, and they fracture. There aren't any denominations today that aren't all fractured up into all different kinds of little groups, because I don't want to. So we say things like, I don't want to stop watching that. I don't want to stop. So after a while, it becomes my belief system, and I believe you don't have to stop. And then I start saying, well, you can watch so-and-so, but not so-and-so. And I start developing a belief system because I don't want to stop. God may be calling for a stop, a complete sever. But we change it, and we say, I don't want to. And so I'm not getting any extra oil today. And I'm going to come up short at the end. Maybe I don't want to stop listening. You know, there's lots of things out there in the world to listen to today. I don't want to stop listening. So I develop a belief system of why it's okay to listen to this. I don't listen to that, but it's okay for this, and then it's okay for that. And pretty soon, here's all these different people all splintered up over, because I don't want to. People do what they want to do. Even when we're saved, we do what we want to do.
Yeah, amen.
God helps us. He blesses us. We come to the realization after we've lived for the Lord for a while, we come to the realization that doing it His way is always the best way. It's the most productive. It's the most peaceful. It brings the most joy. It brings satisfaction. And we learn that after a while. And so even when we run up against something that crosses us, and that's where the I don't want to's come from, is when it crosses what we want to do, we say, not my will, but thine be done, Lord. Help me. How many of us have prayed, help me want to, Lord. Help me want to do this. We don't always want to in the beginning. Something can come up. The Lord can call you. Move. Go to this city or go to that city. Move. I have my family here. I'm established here. We have a home. We have this. We have it. Move. You don't necessarily want to, but you've learned that you give in to the things that God wants you to do because it's going to bring the most peace and satisfaction. And you've learned that when you hold on to the things that you want to do, things go wrong. They fall apart. Not right away. See, that's the bad part. Because the scripture says, because judgment or something isn't executed speedily, people just keep doing it the same way. How many times have you ever thought, if the Lord would just do so-and-so to my son, my daughter, my aunt, my uncle, my husband, my wife, if that would just happen, in other words, speedy judgment right here, they would surely turn.
Yeah.
But that isn't so. If that were so, God would do it that way. But you hardly ever see God do it that way. It's a slow process to get people to give up the I don't want to's. It's a slow process. You have to get thoroughly disgusted with your way. You have to get thoroughly disgusted with the things, the way I think about it and the things that I've done. When you get there, then it's easy to just give it up to the Lord. Easy. So here are these 10 virgins, these 5 foolish ones. They had the opportunity to buy and sell their whole life. They had the opportunity. They could have gotten rid of some of the things that were on hand, their slothfulness and laziness, which kept them from going after the extra oil. They could have gotten rid of that, you know, reading in prayer, things like that, the things that make you lazy in your Christian walk. You end up being to where you don't have extra oil. And how do you know you don't have extra oil? You know, we can know that we don't have extra oil. You know how you know you don't have it? Is when something comes up and you don't do so good in it. You don't have any extra oil. You haven't been cleaning yourself up good as you've gone along. You haven't been really letting it sink in how wrong your ways are. Sometimes when the Lord tells us something, we want to hurry up and do it. Okay, Lord, you know, okay, I see. I shouldn't be like this, you know. Forgive me, and you just want it to be over. You just want to hurry up. But that isn't how we get rid of that. We get rid of it because we see it, and then we experience His trials and tests with it reacting and with it not reacting and all, till we really get the depth of the hatred that we need for it. Sometimes we just want to deal with the surface of something and say, okay, I see it, make it go away. But there's layers to what we have learned in life, and it's going to take layers of the Lord dealing with it to get to the bottom of it and get it completely out. And we're going to have to buy and sell the whole time we're going through that. We're going to have to keep taking the Lord's lessons as they come, keep realizing that I still have some of this on hand, keep praying and working hard and praying for ourselves, fasting, praying, whatever we need to do to get it out, and selling off all the ideas I had about it. You know, that's part of the problem, is that the ideas you have about it are what's keeping you from giving it up. You form some ideas because it was something you didn't want to do. You form some ideas in your head about why you do it like you do. Don't we all in our lives do things the way we want to do? Don't we, as teenagers, if we're not saved, don't we all say, when I get out of here, I'm going to do it my way? We've already, in those formative years, underneath our parents, and they may have been good parents, and they've been telling us right, but we formed some opinions and some belief systems because I didn't want to. So I formed this belief system. So now I have all these beliefs. They sound good to me. They're manufactured in my own head with the help of the enemy. And I have this set form of beliefs. And I think if I live by this set form of beliefs that I have, because, you know, I have no intention of going way out there. I have no intention of going and ended up being a drunkard in an alley. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be a prostitute on the street. I'm not going there. But I have this belief system, you know, that you don't have to do all that to be able to live a pretty good life. And so we go out. And it's when the Lord starts breaking down that belief system, when He starts tearing it up, when He starts dealing with it in such a way that you have to acknowledge that I didn't think I'd ever go this far. I thought I wouldn't go this far. But I do. So here are these virgins. Some of them are keeping up to date. And they're buying extra oil all the time. They're working hard at it. They don't let little things go by. They don't let the little things slip. They don't let the little things go by because nobody's saying anything about it. You think, whew, you know, I'm glad nothing came of that. But yet, there may be some things you need to do to straighten it up. So, here they are, and they're saying, I don't want to. And you live by your I don't want to's. That's really where you live. And that, those are the things that God deals with. The I want to's, there's some of those too. But usually the I want to's are in the grander scheme. They're in a grand scheme. I want to be rich someday. I want to have my own business someday. I want to have... And usually it's not evil things that people are wanting to have. But the things that will really help them in life, I don't want it. I don't want that. Salvation helps everyone in life. Yeah. Helps them. Helps them be a success. Amen. Helps them be able to have a happy and a pleasant existence in this life. Helps them to have some joy and laughter in this life. Helps them to be able to have a happy home and all. Helps them to be able to perform in this life and have the things that most people want to have. But salvation is what gives it to you. But I don't want salvation. What did we hear? What did we hear just a little while ago? Somebody said something about, I don't want to be saved now. I don't want. See, I don't want. So they're selling the Lord short. And what are they buying? They're buying into the idea that I can live a good life and have a happy existence on the devil's territory. They're buying into it. And so, as their life is going on, they're in a place where they're not getting anything. Nothing. But the enemy just keeps propagating the lie. You'll get there. Keep working at it. You'll get there. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll make it. So what we need to do is we need to turn this I don't want to around. And we need to say, we need to start filling it in, because a lot of times we fill it in with things that are, they're good for us, but we stop right there. I don't want to, such as humble myself. I don't want to. But what we need to do is we need to say things like, I don't want to be a bad example. You see what I'm saying? And then you want to add something on the end. Because that's not the end of the sentence. So you want to say, I don't want to be a bad example with God's help. Because you know you can't do it by yourself, right? I don't want to hurt others with God's help. I don't want to lose my salvation with God's help. I don't want to be the kind of person that others look on and say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of it. With God's help. We can get some extra oil, you see. We can get some extra oil. By knowing the things that we need and going after them and changing our I don't want to's to something positive and making it to where we don't want to displease God with His help. We don't want to bring shame to the Savior's name with His help. We don't want to lead people astray with His help. We don't want to do that. And we can gain extra oil as we go along the way. We can start, instead of saying, I don't want to do this, or I don't see the need to do it, and I And then it changes, and then pretty soon it's, I don't believe you need to do this. And it just starts with, I don't want to. But we can want to do the things that are in God. Yeah. And we can start gaining that extra oil. We can want to. There isn't anything too great that I wouldn't do for the Lord. There isn't anything too big or too small that I wouldn't give up for the Lord. No matter. If He calls for my education, I'll give it up for the Lord. If He says, just change this little thing, I'll do it for the Lord. I won't say I don't understand. I don't understand why you have to do that. Well, why would He want me to give up my education? I spent all these years getting this degree and all and everything. Because God has a plan for your life. And do you know, every day that you spend outside the plan of God for you, you're losing ground, and you're not going to have enough oil at the end. Not going to have enough oil. Because it's going to get you. There's a reason God has calls for these things in our life, because they're going to get us in the end. In the end, something in them is going to turn something in us, or cause us not to realize some things about ourselves that we need to know. And it's going to turn it in the end. It's not going to be good for us. We're not going to get any extra oil, and we may be losing some of the oil we have. When God calls for things in our lives, you know, people have lost out over the smallest things. And there are people that try to say, oh, that's so small, that's so little, that's so insignificant. You don't have to worry about that. Don't even think about that. But I'm going to tell you something. There have been people that have lost out over little things. Little things. It started there. It was I don't want to. And then, it not only is I don't want to, then it changes, see, and it becomes their belief system. And now they believe that you don't have to. How are they ever going to get back to the place to where God can take it and you can give it to Him if now you believe you don't even have to? How are you going to get there? That's what happened to these virgins. They didn't have any extra oil. They had been doing these kinds of things in their minds and in their hearts. We have to be willing. If you're going to serve the Lord, it's free. You know, we say it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But it's going to cost you everything. There's no cost that, there's nothing that I can do to get it. It's free. It just comes to me. If I meet the conditions, it's free to me. But to keep it, it's going to cost you everything. The way you think, your belief system, your mindsets, your the way my family's always done it. The way you think that the way your family does it is the best way. All of those belief systems, you're going to have to give them up. And you're going to have to do it God's way. His way. If you don't do it His way, you can't go and be with Him. See, heaven is run God's way. Heaven is run God's way. If we can't conquer ourselves down here, God says you can't come up and be in my heaven where everything is run my way. You can't do that. You have to be willing to live down here, giving up your way, trusting fully in Him, not having your own set of values, your own set of rules, but going by what the Bible tells us in order to get into His heaven. Now, you will go to the place that you have followed the mindset of. So if you have followed your own way, which is self and the flesh, all the things you learned when you were out there in sin, If you still continue to go your way, you will go to the place that allows that. Allows you to think anything you want. Allows you to believe anything you want. Allows you to live any way you want, do anything you want, go anywhere you want to go. Doesn't require anything of you. Requires no moral standards at all. Requires no anything, no kind of standards at all. And you can choose that way, and you can go to that place that allows all of that. But you won't be happy there. Because it's a place of torment. It's a place of never-ending separation. It's a place of always knowing that I could have been somewhere else, but I... that you felt like were of no value to you, and that you didn't want to do, and you didn't see the need of, or anything, that's going to plague you there. Now, you know what else is going to happen there? All the things that were pretty good about you. You ever heard somebody say, that's a really good man, and he'd give you the shirt off his back? That means that he's very kind to other people. That's what they're saying. He's a kind person to other people. He'll help them. He'll do things for them. He'll hurt himself in order to help others. There are some good things about sinners. There's some good things. There's some things they do. There's some things they do right. Some of them are kind. Some of them are generous with their money. Some of them might have an inclination to be a thoughtful person, to where they don't say things that are hurtful. There are some sinners out there that have more of a meek and a humble attitude than your normal sinner does. They have a few good things. In hell, all of those are going to be gone. You're going to be stripped of anything that, any good gift that comes from above, you're going to be stripped of there. So now, all the things that you relied upon to say, I'm a good person, are going to be gone. And you're only going to be left with the evil and the vile and the things that you really kind of hated about yourself and really would have liked to have changed. That's what you're going to be left with. And all those things, here we are saved. And we still have some things in us. We may not know about them yet. The Lord hasn't revealed them to us yet. Or maybe He's revealed it and we're working on it. We're praying and we're working at it and we're trying to get that extra oil and we're praying and we're not just letting it go. We're working on it. We want a complete victory and we're working towards that complete victory. All those things that we were fighting and having to, those in heaven, they're all going to be gone. And only the good and all is going to be what is there and shines through. Won't that be wonderful? Yes. To not have anything there anymore that fights against God in any way. Yes. Won't it be wonderful?
Maybe.
So, be careful of the I don't want to's. Because they turn into your beliefs. And you will live and die by the I don't want to's. Amen.